WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
just... And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. I live to work on the WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live tonight. I like the new GIFs that Twitch does, mainly for the names, when they pop up on the OBS feed. That's my favorite
Brent
part.
Brent and I can finally have GIF wars. I'm so ready.
I mean, you gotta be tier 2 and tier 3 subs. That's the only way to do it.
I'm an admin. Does that count?
No.
Damn.
I know. I just like because there's like sarcastic season 9 GIF by the offices.
Why doesn't the Bray Wyatt GIF work?
What do you mean it doesn't work?
It's not showing up. It just says Bray Wyatt wrestling GIF by WWE.
Yeah, no, on the screen they don't show up. But in the chat they do.
Right, but I'm in chat. It doesn't show up. It's not there. Worked. Like, I can see the...
Oh, it works for me. It worked. Mine worked.
It doesn't work for me.
But the names
Boo-boo,
are just
tremendous.
the names are tremendous. One day they'll appear on screen when they one day. Anyway.
So for now, only Rock gets the gifts. He has the power.
I has the power to do things.
But it's been a week. An interesting week in the world of professional wrestling. not a huge amount of news, but some interesting news nonetheless. So I say we get right into it, brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And that is that WWE has announced that Crown Jewel will emanate once again from the Riyadh Season Stadium at KAFD on Saturday, November 7th. So tickets should be on sale, if not now, soon.
If they
get your tickets.
If they go on sale.
If they go on sale, yes.
If they go on sale. So that's interesting. We knew there were going to be three this year because Rumble, we just did one, right?
Mm-hmm. Back in June.
June. Because they had to make up for one. Because there's one year they did one, so they had to get three in, I think, this year.
There was one, I think it got canceled either due to COVID. Not COVID, that's too far off.
It was scheduling wise, they just couldn't get it on the calendar that year.
Yeah, they couldn't make it work.
So they did three this year. So this could be, we're going to have money starting in October. We have Money in the Bank in early October leading into this Crown Jewel, leading into Survivor Series at the end of November. And then like two, three weeks later, it's WrestlePalooza. So the fall is going to get hit hard with PLEs to close out the year. And then as far as I can picture, there's nothing scheduled until the Royal Rumble. So there'll be a big gap after going into the holidays. But it's a long, we're going to have a bunch of stuff to talk about for a while. A busy fall.
But it'll be a good fall. Because it will be busy.
Yeah, and they're all going to be at weird times. Because Crown Jewel is going to be in the afternoon. WrestlePalooza, what's their morning?
Where is it?
Australia, so their evening is hours. Their evening is our morning.
Yeah, so it'll be 12 hours ahead. At least 12 to 14.
Yeah. So that'll be, hey, Brent can wake up at 3 a.m. or stay up at 3 a.m. and watch the PLE.
Enjoy, Brent. Have fun with that.
Which, wouldn't that make Raw happen that early in the morning, too?
I think so, yes.
It would be like a 6 a.m. Raw for the East Coast. That's
brutal. 6 a.m. Raw? Oh, no. Thank you.
I mean, then it will be readily available uncensored, and then people on the internet can complain about it.
Do you just need to?
I'm just making a comment. That's all I did. I was making a comment.
Mm-hmm.
The internet loves censorship. We know this.
They're so on board with this. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. She said the internet may or may not be happy about this. I'm not entirely sure. Speaking of them. It's been announced that the Speed Championships have been retired.
So Zarya had the option of giving up one of the belts. She gave the Speed title, which led to the men's title also being retired. It was a gimmick for the internet, a gimmick for Twitter. And then when that season ended, they're like, now what? Well, they couldn't sell it anymore. So the titles were defended on television for a while. And it's really hard to make that belt style work on TV as 3-minute matches compared to when it's just, here it is on Twitter, it's a 3-minute video, watch. It just doesn't fit the product. They tried to make it work. They tried different things with it, but it just never stuck as we have these highly competitive 15-minute matches on TV, but this match is over in 3 minutes and it has the same type of result. It was a good social media belt. It's not a good TV belt.
Yeah. Good in theory, good for a while in practice, not great any other time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is.
So, Godspeed, Speed Championships, I don't know. I got nothing on that one. Anyway, moving on to AEW, in absolutely no shock or surprise to anyone, the New Level have joined AEW.
And they are the new AEW Trios Champions with Swerve Strickland winning the belts this past Sunday at AEW All In. To a great debut. Apparently Woods, or Creed, was listening to That's the New Level song, and then it got stuck in their head and they kept referencing it. That's why their name became New Level. Apparently they were asked to take a 50% pay cut, or a little bit more than 50% pay cut, to stay with WWE, as the WWE strategy was to kind of phase them out in ring and just sort of have them do charity work and all the different things, brand ambassador type thing. And I understand why they would not want to do that. I understand why they would say, hey, We still think we can contribute to wrestling, so we're out. I also see it from WWE side going, this act has been running for 15 years. We're not the most focused on tag team wrestling. We've kind of told all the stories we can with the people they've fought. What do we do? Like, I see why they would say, hey, we want to lower your contract. We want to do this, and we want to make keep you a part of the company, but do this and this instead of in-ring. Especially since both guys were often injured the last few years. They both had some injuries come up that took them out for long stretches of time, which after 15 years with the company, it's bound to happen. Like, I see it from both sides. I see why WWE would do what they, or TK wanted to do what they wanted to do, and I fully understand why New Day or New Level would say, hey, we out.
And I mean, to be fair, they knew what they were doing. TKO. By asking anybody to take a 50% pay cut to stay in your current job and not reap the rewards that you have been reaping, that is an absolute dead giveaway that they wanted them gone. That they basically pushed them out. That's exactly what they did. Very few people will take a 50% pay cut.
And they were thinking about going before the pay cut talk, because there was apparently an interaction at WrestleMania where, to keep kayfabe, Big E didn't say anything to Woods' kids, or they all nodded, but they didn't really talk because you're keeping up kayfabe in front of people, and they didn't want that to happen. It's like, well, you guys ran the angle, you broke up. They blundered it, yeah, but guess what? And also, no one wanted to boo them. And it happens. But that's not the reason why they left. It's at some point creatively, you run out of stories.
I don't even think it's that. I think losing E, as talented and as fantastic as Kofi and Woods are, or Creed is, right? R is. E was a large contributing factor, no pun intended, to the New Day. And taking that from a trio, on which is unfortunate circumstances and beyond their control, and taking it to a tag team and then continuing on as they should have and trying to do the best they can, I appreciate that. But the act, it did lose its spark a little bit with the loss of E. And they could never quite capture that same magic again. Like, I think they did fantastic work in the heel run. I love the morning gimmick. Like, the hats and the fashion were fantastic. But like, in terms of recapturing that magic of the tag team and New Day and what made them really that marquee act, they never got there with it. Cause I think it was what made it special, the trio, and just how they all played and bounced off of each other and worked together as a team, that made it very, very special. I wish them nothing but success in AEW. Like, I hope they succeed and do everything that they wanted to do in AEW. I think where the shame is that WWE never tried, because they did have something in Woods as a solo. They definitely had something in Kofi as a solo, that they never pursued that a little bit harder. Because, like, the thing is especially with the loss of E, you can always bring New Day together. It's like DX, right? You would have every iteration of DX drift apart, and then when you needed to bring the group back together, they would come back together. Same thing holds true for New Day. Like, you could have Kofi and Woods go off and do their own thing, right? And Woods can go win King of the Ring, and he could go win the World Championship. Same thing for Kofi. They can go off and do their own thing. They can support each other. And then when they need to come together as a tag team, they can come together as a tag team. So the fact that WWE never really pursued that with them, at least like hardcore parkour, is a little disappointing, because they definitely had something in there, especially with like Woods. On that whole King of the Ring run, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you had the crowd behind him. He was the underdog. Everybody was supporting him. Like, you could have done something with that.
You could have. To address the man's, yes, they got major heat to start, but the overall idea was, I don't think long-term people wanted to boo the New Day, just like people didn't want to boo John Cena long-term. At first, you get the heat, but overall, long-term, everyone still wanted to get behind them.
I think it's very difficult in wrestling today to have like genuine heat. And there are very few people that I've seen that have been able to achieve it in what I would term a sustainable way. The best that I've seen in recent memory is Dominic Mysterio. He's probably been the most consistent at it.
And then it turned,
people just love to boo him.
And then it turned to cheers.
And then it turned to cheers. Because Because here's the thing. At some point, and I'm guilty of this, everybody knows this. At some point of this, you appreciate what you're seeing and you enjoy what you're seeing. Like, I don't mind admitting that I enjoy the villains. Like Bray Wyatt, he was a bad guy. He was a villain. He was not supposed to be liked. He was not supposed to be cheered. He's the creepy cult leader guy that everybody should be afraid of. But it was so fucking good and it was so well presented and so well performed that you sit there and you appreciate what you're watching and you enjoy what you're watching and you cheer for it because you're enjoying it. And that's, I think, how it's sort of shifting a little bit, is because that curtain's been so far pulled back. You're looking at it and you're going, okay, this is essentially a person playing this character. This character is not real. But I really like the character. I really enjoy what the character's doing. So I'm going to cheer for the character. Even if they're a bad guy, even if they do awful things, I'm going to cheer for it because I like it. Because it's fun, because it's entertaining. And I think that's where wrestling is shifting. I think it's very, very difficult for wrestlers, for wrestling companies to get those performers that they can get that like actual heat. And the only way of, like, Dominic was really good at it. The only other way I've seen it done is like if they're just overexposed and people are just tired of them. And then the crowds start booing because they're like, God, not this again. Like, the example would be Chris Jericho, where people were just so tired of Jericho and AEW that it's like, he needs to go. He needs to go on a hiatus, you know, go off and do his band tour. Because that was always the thing with Jericho, was he would be around for a certain amount of time and then he would fuck off for a tour and you wouldn't see him for a while. And then he would come back. And that's how they kind of like managed Jericho. And then he kind of stopped touring, where he wasn't going out anymore and he was around all the time and people got tired of him. And so when he finally took that break and then when he finally came back, it was like, okay, it's fresh again. So I think that's really kind of the problem in wrestling, is when we're looking at these characters, we see them for exactly what they are. They're a character. They're not a person. They're not a human being. They're not real. And we all know they're not real. And that's a different reaction than thinking that it's real. Because it's like, you don't sit there and watch a TV show and boo the villain, right? You might go, oh God, not this guy or girl, depending. But you don't boo them actively, right? We don't respond in that fashion to something that we know is not real. And I think that's where wrestling is changing.
And to the point of no real heel, why Gunther works really well as a heel? Because he plays to the crowd to be a heel. He works a style to it. 90% of workers today don't work that style.
No.
They don't work to get booed. They work for the big move, to get the pop from the crowd. Every single person does that. You don't work. They don't work for the boo. They work for the big move. That's why when Roman was at his peak as a heel, it worked. Because he wasn't looking for the big reaction, for the big twisting flip dive through a table off a ladder.
No.
I'll give examples. Swerve Strickland was one of the most over heels they had in AEW for a while. But then when he got in the ring, everything he was doing was violent, but also he was looking for the pop off the move. That's why everyone still chanted, whose house? Swerve's house. Like, when you're asking for the crowd reaction, you lose the idea of being a heel. You don't do enough, and they're all restricted based on sponsorship agreements, even in AEW, where you can only go so far to be a heel. WWE's way restricted on you know, generating that realism heat, because you have Netflix, ESPN, Peacock, and every single sponsor you have to manage. While it'll make for great television to go over the line, you won't make money.
No.
As great sadly. As the is, if you took the Attitude Era and put it in 2026 with all the sponsorship,
oh my God,
none of it would make a dime.
I actually saw a clip the other day, not to go completely off topic, of like that for like the Tori Iry feud, they had Tori essentially stripped down to a thong and had her walking around backstage in literally nothing but a thong as she looked for Ivory. And then the two fought essentially naked on live television.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the kind of stuff about the Attitude Era that people don't necessarily remember. They remember the highs, the Austin McMahons, the Rock, you know, hunters, all this other stuff, right? All the big highlights, all the big matches, but they forget just how violent and sexually charged and entirely inappropriate in most cases the Attitude Era really was. And that's why WWE had to clean up their act in the early 2000s, was because if they wanted to survive, if they wanted to get TV deals, if they wanted to like make it into the next, you know, 50 years or whatever, they couldn't do that anymore. They had to perform at a certain level, because even TV companies were like, it's too trashy. We don't want to run it because it's too trashy. Tastes were shifting. Tastes were changing. It's why I think AEW has altered and changed, is they still have the violence. They still cater to the violence. They don't do the sex as much, but they do the violence. But I feel like in some ways, based on what I've seen, AEW still has its moments, but overall it's getting potentially less violent on free TV. You would have to confirm that because I don't watch it, but I don't hear it as much.
Yeah, they don't go as far, but there are periods of time that they do.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. But it's like, it feels like they are perhaps shifting ever so slightly, and the AEW today is not the AEW that we got when it first initially started. That product has shifted, that product has changed to mold with the TV network that they're on and for their sponsors. Because for a lot of companies, especially for the ones that like WWE is working with, they're family brand companies. They don't want to tie their brand to something that is going to be even remotely controversial in specific areas. Like the McMahon sex scandal, the fact that they kept a lot of their sponsors through that is amazing.
Yep.
Because they should have gotten dropped, and I'm surprised they didn't completely. But I think they did that where they managed it correctly and like were able to catch it in time, and that's why they kept them. But because you notice that like they were on that shit so fast.
They were.
But to kind of bring it back to the original conversation, which is the new level. No, I think in terms of WWE as a tag team, they had done everything they could. There was really nothing left for them to do. There was nobody really left for them to necessarily face.
Correct.
And they had sort of gone to that level where they were the ambassadors and the entertainers, and they weren't necessarily being put in serious contention for anything. It's like the joke stands that either the new Day or the Usos will have the tag titles at the end of the year, whenever we do pick them.
Yeah.
That they're the safe bet. They're the guarantee that one of them's going to have it. So it's kind of like there wasn't really anything left for them to do. So from TKO's perspective, I understand why they kind of lowballed them. It sucks, and I think it's rude. Like, from New Level's perspective, and this is coming just from me on a corporate level, there's a salary that you earn. And for all the money, and I mean all the fucking money, that New Day made WWE and continued to make WWE right up until they left. I think that's, it's insulting, frankly, that they got lowballed. Like, it's really actually kind of shitty that that's what was done. It's like, if you didn't want to necessarily renew them, that's fine. But just be honest about it, because that's just like, oh, hey, yeah, we want to bring you back and we basically want to have you be like hosts and stuff, but we don't want to really pay you for it. Or if you bring them back, do it as a pay-per-play and let them go elsewhere, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, don't be pulling that crap. Because I see what WWE is trying to do. I see what TKO is trying to do. They are trying to make it more sports-related, where it's like, you get to a certain level, you have to stay at a certain level. And we have talked about this before, when this story kind of broke, where they're willing to pay people at the level, provided they stay there. Here's the problem with that model in professional wrestling. Wrestlers do not have control over that. They perform based on the whims and the will of the writers and the creative team and the company. So Roman Reigns is a star today. Roman Reigns could be written off TV tomorrow and never appear ever again. And he wouldn't necessarily have any control over that. He can go on Twitter and he can bitch, and plenty of people have done that. But in terms of like them setting that up as their pay structure, if you're going to do that, then it's up to you to like keep people at that level, because, you know, it's like, you can't, you can't essentially, you know, have somebody making $250,000, for example. They go up and, you know, suddenly they get hot. You push them, they win the championship, and it's like, oh my God, yay, awesome. So they sign their contract at $1 million, and then you drop the title off of them, and then you never push them again. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we're going to put you back at the original 250K. Wait, what? What? And I know some of that is on the talent to like maintain the crowd, but like once the creative runs its course, the job of the creative team is to come up with that next storyline for that performer. And as we've seen, some people are better at it than others, and they're not consistent with it. So good on the new level for knowing their worth and going somewhere that I hope they're valued, and I hope they get everything they want, and I hope they succeed.
We'll see where they are in a year.
Maybe they'll be, you know, at AEW Dynasty in February.
Maybe.
Because, you know, AEW announced it will return to the United Kingdom for AEW Dynasty on Sunday, February 7th, 2027 at the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool, and for AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, February the 10th at the O2 in London. The two events will be historic for AEW as they mark the first time an AEW event has ever been held in Liverpool, the first AEW UK pay-per-view event to ever take place outside of London, and the first AEW Dynamite to be held in London.
Interesting they picked that weekend, because that's the weekend we think the Royal Rumble is being held. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. We'll see what happens.
We'll see indeed what happens. We could have more competition in our hands. I will say this. Can all three companies not schedule shit on the same weekend? Please coordinate. Thank you. Sincerely, all of us. Because that's a lot of... that. What was that? Was that SummerSlam that they did that?
I mean, it was last weekend they did. It was NXT, AAA, and AEW All In. We're all going up against each other.
Please coordinate.
AAA and NXT were back-to-back as All In was happening.
And in other news, Tessa Blanchard has announced she's joining MLW.
Congrats to her.
May it be a successful run. And with that, we're going to take a break. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Sunday night's main event, which is live from right here in Atlanta, Georgia. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTechRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are here to talk all about Sunday night's main event, which emanates live from Atlanta, Georgia, on Sunday. Hence the name, Sunday night's main event. At 8 p.m. Eastern, it will be available on the Peacocks in the United States and the Netflixes internationally. Or on YouTube internationally, excuse me.
It is the replacement PLE for Money in the Bank that got moved to October, so it's a Sunday night event rather than a Saturday night main event. And, well, I wouldn't want to go up against college football this weekend, so it's a good thing it's on a Sunday night and not a Saturday night.
I mean, so, I can respect it.
Me too.
Scheduling and all.
There will be a live performance at some point during the show from Quavo doing a new track from a new album. So,
Chrome, yay,
something like that.
I'm hoping that's how you say that.
I guess.
I had the title in front of me, so.
But, and people are like, well, why are they doing it? Because they've always done it. They've always added music. Well, they should add more wrestling. Well, yeah, duh, they should. But they want to add more entertainment value musically to the shows. Because they're playing up to the live audience. So there you go.
Atlanta's the hip-hop capital of the South, guys.
But it's not just going to be for Atlanta. They're going to intertwine it more often to major events. It's like, they've always done that.
I know, but just to let everybody know, it's for the culture here. Atlanta is the hip-hop capital of the South. It's where a lot of it is produced. They're also doing Magic City merch.
That was a choice.
I don't know if they're trying to parlay off the NBA stuff or what.
I don't know. That was a choice they made.
If you don't know, let me explain. Magic City is one of the famous strip clubs in Atlanta. I guess it kind of overtook the Cheetah Club because the Cheetah Club is no more. It went out of business. But the dude still owns the land and everybody's trying to buy it from him and it's worth millions. But anyway, the Cheetah Club was big in the 90s and everybody would go to the Cheetah and then it kind of got embroiled in scandal and got shut down. And now it's Magic City. And the NBA, in their infinite wisdom, which to be fair, it's a strip club and bar/restaurant. So you can technically get titties and food, dinner and a show, if you want, at Magic City. And the NBA was going to hold an event there. And there was kind of you know what that is, right? You know what that is.
They were going to do jerseys.
Yeah. And somebody was going to hold an event there, weren't they?
No, I think they were going to honor it at the NBA event and had jerseys and stuff like that. That's right.
Yeah. Everybody's like, maybe not. Maybe we don't do that. And of course, everybody here was like, what? Why? Uh-huh. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Y'all don't understand. It's cultural here. We are known for, we have high quality strip clubs here in Atlanta. I don't know what to tell you. It's, an airport. And the Coke Museum and strip clubs are tourism.
There's worse things to be known for.
Actually, we do have the College High School or the College Hall of Fame, too. At least we did. Somebody robbed it. So I don't know if it's still here. But we did have it. Anyway, let's talk about wrestling instead of, By the way, if they do show Magic City on the event, I'm going to scream.
I don't think they will.
We'll see. So starting from the bottom, we have four matches. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and their new bestie Tatum Paxley, who they've adopted, will be taking on Jay Cargill, Meechin, and B-Fab in a six-woman tag team match.
I really like the introduction of Tatum to the group. Charlotte is mixing interestingly well with Tatum. She is hesitant, like she was early with Alexa, and Tatum is kind of working her way in to the family, I guess. It's a great trio's pairing. One is working for Tatum because she's working while Alexa's not on the road, although every weekend or whenever they've been working, Tatum has been working with Charlotte in a tag team form. So that's getting some good reps and learning experience for Tatum on the road when WWE, because they're working more live events now. So that's been good. Poor Alexa, she apparently fell and hit her fa- or not fell or just banged her head. She has a black eye now. So that's fun. I really like the pairing. I think in terms of the match, I think the good girls need to go over in this one. I feel like it'd be a big move to have that going. I think we had Charlotte Jade one-on-one once on SmackDown, and I think we should build to it one more time, or maybe, because Money in the Bank is next, so you're probably building them into that one here shortly. But yeah, I think Team Charlotte should go over in this one. I think it's the right move.
I would second that. No offense to Jade and Meechan and B-Fab, but especially since you're building a trio in Charlotte, Alexa, and Tatum. Alexa's coming back off of her injury, and I use that in quotations. It makes sense to have them go over, especially if you intend for this to be a long-term thing. I do like what Tatum brings to the dynamic because Alexa and Charlotte are a little bit settled, which is good. That's not bad at all. But Tatum kind of brings that chaos into the mix again, which is nice. And she's sort of that X factor. They just need to make sure that they like harness that correctly, which I think they're figuring out how to do.
Yeah, it's a good work in progress.
We getting a trio. Anyway, I'm going team good girls. What about you?
I'm going team Charlotte.
All right. Eight ball. Team Jade. Outlook not so good.
Wrestler three.
You got a Wrestler 3 on the board. You didn't hear it because sound got screwed up on Discord. But Wrestler 3 on that one. And we spin it around again. Discord, this time.
Wrestler 1.
That's a Wrestler 1.
The pain. The pain. Oh, you got a Wrestler. I finally. And I got a Wrestler 3 first shot out of the gate. That sucks. This is. Okay. Baron Corbin versus Little Yachty, a 5-minute challenge. If Yachty lasts 5 minutes, Trick Williams gets a U.S. championship match later that night.
Yes. So Trick really, Trick wanted his rematch. He's been trying to get Baron Corbin to give him said rematch, and Trick got one, lost. And since then has won another one. But Lil Yachty's still been getting Baron Corbin. Lil Yachty and Trick Williams have been getting Baron Corbin's business. As Baron Corbin continues to try to figure out a way to defeather the U.S. title. Usually it's, hey, wrestler versus wrestler. Then if I win, I get 5 minutes with manager. This time we're doing the reverse. You get the manager first. And if Lil Yachty can survive 5 minutes for the beating, Trick that night right after would get the title shot. I think Little Yachty will survive 5 minutes, and I think Trick gets his title shot and loses again.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna second that, just because with Yachty only being in there for quote unquote 5 minutes and you have at least 2 hours to fill, you aren't gonna make all the other matches obnoxiously long to fill the time. So, yeah, I say Yachty wins, and then I guess, yeah, Trick loses. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. So, 8-Ball?
8-Ball! Baron Corbin? Outlook not so good.
I'll answer in a second. Wrestler?
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. Yes, I think he loses 3 times in a row because I think Trick in the Bank is what's next.
There you go.
That could happen, LeMans. He could get the belt back, but I think I kind of push him to the bank rather than keep him in the U.S. title. I think you gotta, with him holding the briefcase, could be good content for a while. And it'll elevate him because as it stands now, the U.S. title would keep him in a certain position, and I think he would work well with the main eventers that are going on right now on SmackDown.
Agreed. All right. Up next, we have two big beefy men slapping meat. Obafemi taking on Bron Breakker in a singles match for Pride.
So, all the talk is who's the future of WWE? Who's the future? Who's the future? We all know it's Oba. We all knew a year ago it was Bron Breakker. Who knows in 6 months who it could be? But these are two guys who are looking to kind of, sort of, find where they stand. It's hard to make me wonder and see Bron Breakker losing this one clean. I can't see Obafemi losing this one by taking a pinfall. B Because if Oba takes, if Bron Breakker comes in here and beats Oba Femi right after he lost, or after he just beat Brock Lesnar and retired Brock Lesnar, that's wasting opportunity. And it's not, WWE is good at wasting opportunities sometimes. But I think with Oba, they know better with Oba Femi.
Yeah.
But there's a big shadow looming of what could be next. And why this match may not have a winner the way we think there's going to be a winner. This one could have a third big beefy man slap and meat, interfering and causing chaos, destruction, and a disqualification. Big Bronson Reed.
He's apparently jacked as fuck now.
He is apparently jacked. It feels like you could either A, Oba beats Bron Breakker, and then the aftermath is Bronson Reed returns. They could also do that as well. I mean, that's very much a possibility too. But I think we see the return of Bronson Reed on Sunday. And I would like to preface by them saying, I've seen the reports, they're positioning him as a top heel going forward. That's great to say in premise, top heel. Well, let's see, Roman and the Usos and Jacob and Otis and Royce Keyes' group. It's hard to know where the top is when there's not enough faces for top heels to work. So we need more top baby faces on Raw to consider anyone a top heel at this point. But they're being positioned that way sometimes. But if you just look at it, it's in the hierarchy. If they're kind of the heels in some situations, they're mainly tweeners. But my point is that you need more baby faces besides Solo and LA Knight. Yeah, on the top card for anybody on that roster to be considered a top, to be baby faces. You got Oba, LA Knight, Solo. Solo was SmackDown up until a month ago.
Yeah.
It's... So I would hold back on the top heel part. That's just me. Maybe... Does Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, do anything for anyone past one match? And usually when you do the turn, it's... Lately with WWE, the person is supposed to be healed gets cheered, and it comes to babyface. That's... I don't know.
I think the X factor in this, as it has been many times before, is Paul Heyman and how Paul Heyman sort of plays into this whole dynamic and this whole thing, right? Because we don't know the answer to that question. We don't know what he's going to do. And we know, just based on what was going on Monday at the contract signing, that Paul was giving Oba a certain kind of look. He had that twinkle, let's say, in his eye when he was looking at Oba. Now, that just could have been, oh, Oba's really entertaining. Paul's having fun. He's really liking what he's doing. You know, it's a good time for everybody. Or Paul, the character, is doing what Paul does. Paul sees money. The one very consistent narrative that they have told between Paul Heyman and The Vision is Paul is not seeing money. He's seeing potential, but he's not seeing money. He's not seeing power. And most importantly, he's not seeing titles that matter.
Yeah.
Preface of that. He looks for the world title. He wants the world title because, again, that's where the power and the money sit. Braun, while he had a great future at one point, got sidetracked because he got injured. And because of that, he lost his spot. And now he's trying to gain ground. And unfortunately, as he's trying to gain ground, somebody's in his way. And that's Oba Femi. And Braun, for all his gifts, isn't Oba. And doesn't have Oba's potential. Like, Braun is crazy fast in the ring. He has a lot of natural physical gifts. Like, he can spear people through anybody. He's stupid fast. It all looks really cool, right? But Braun, I feel like, lacks the charisma. He lacks the charm. He's not good on the mic. Whereas Oba, and that's always been his fault. It's why we've always kind of said, or at least I've always said, Braun needs a Paul to make up for that. Whereas Oba is charming. He's entertaining. He's got a good personality. He comes across well on TV. He's a fantastic worker. Like, he is the total package for them. They can send him out. He can do media, you know, the works.
Yeah.
And you see it. You see that he is the next top star in that company. if they push him right, because he has everything they look for and everything they need. Whereas Braun doesn't. Though I'm sure he's a lovely guy, the character of Braun Breaker as it's being presented right now is not translating well on TV. And that's a problem for him. You know? So I think it's going to come down to Heyman and what Heyman does, if you want me to be honest. And yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like it's got to be over, right?
I think Opal wins. I could see it ending in DQ, but I also could see the aftermath finish as well. But I'm going to go Opal Femi wins.
I got to go Opal wins just because I am in agreement with that. That, yeah, that makes sense to me from a booking standpoint that Opal wins. So, it ball. Now, whether there's shenanigans, whether Bronson Reed comes back, who knows? We'll see. But I think it's Oba wins in some capacity. 8 ball. Bronson Reed? Yes.
Wrestler 1.
You heard that one, right?
Yes.
Fixed it. Anyway, Wrestler 1.
I'm so happy.
Me too. So that's Opa Femi.
Wrestler 1 is, yes, Opa Femi. Makes sense. All right. In our last contest of the evening, we have Cody Rhodes taking on Randy Orton.
Give me a Randy Orton win. Clean. In the middle. 1, 2, 3. Do it. I want to see it. Make it happen. Let it be a thing. Let Randy get the edge. Do it. Make it happen. In Cody's hometown. Have him lose. Have Randy be the bad guy and get the win and stand tall at the end of the night. Have Cody Rhodes be frustrated. Don't let Cody win. Makes for better TV when Cody's losing. Doesn't happen often. Let the struggle work. Don't have Cody just bounce back and beat Randy Orton again like he did at WrestleMania. Have Randy get a win here. Let the struggle be real. Because if Cody wins, it's like you can position him back in the title picture. It's like, no. If he loses, he can stay out of the title picture. We need that to be a thing. We do not need Cody Rhodes near the title right now. Keep him far away. Let Randy win, damn it.
I'm in agreement with all of that. I love Cody. Don't get me wrong. It's his hometown, but it's not a special thing, right? He's not going for a title here. It's just a match. There is a lot of history between the two, but in order to push Cody forward, in order to potentially continue this into the next show, an actual PLE, I feel like you do need to have Cody lose. He needs a little hard times, baby. He needs to suffer just a little bit, so make him suffer.
Yes.
Also, he has a movie coming out soon, so, you know, he's going to have to leave to, like, go do press and shit. So you could have Randy beat his ass down, and then you just write him off TV so he can go do that.
You could.
I mean, that is also a thing to take him to account. Is that he does have...
I don't think that's happening, but...
Stranger things happen.
Yeah.
So, alrighty. 8 ball. Cody Rhodes? Nope.
Will.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. Oh, my goodness.
That's Cody, right?
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, my goodness. Cody Rhodes.
I think we're done.
We are done. That is our show.
You got us to plug.
I do. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio with our NFL preview edition. Tune in. Should be fun. Sunday night, when Sunday night's main event is over, hopefully around 10 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio reviewing said show. Monday night, it's a Raw post show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk about it. And then, programming note, we are not live next week. There's no show.
Nope, sorry guys, I gotta travel.
She's out of town. You may hear her Sunday to talk about said show. But we'll be back live in 2 weeks. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search The Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card RockSock or
Min's Inward
in the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LensWard, L-E-N-S-W-R-D. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LensWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LensWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LensWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell them we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. No, no, we won't see you next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.